The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Saints Hour. Mike Haas, along with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. At the end of the day, the Saints get to 5-8, go up to New Jersey, MetLife Stadium, win 14-11 for Coach Darren Rizzi, won three of his last four, and that is the end of it, right? That should be the end, because I was thinking on the plane back, week four, you completely outplayed your opponent, lost by three. Nobody cares, right? We're in week 15. Nobody cares, right? It's win or lose, period. Yes, there's things to work on. Yes, there were some positives. But in the end, man, it's a W.
Yeah, well, there's no asterisks behind the wins or losses, that's for sure. You know, you hear the term ugly win, and look, call it whatever you want. It was a hard-fought game, and we made a play at the end of the game to win the game. And I would say, look, for a really long portion of that game, we played really good on defense. We had our struggles on offense. We also had our opportunities. And so it's a win. That's the main thing here is the end result's a win.
What are some of the positives that you do take away from a game like that? Because it was so many, it actually kind of had been kind of different than the script that you had seen, where there had been these long drives, time eating, but you weren't able to come away with much other than field goals, where this got into the red zone twice, got into the end zone twice. What were some of the other positives that you would take away from this?
Team points, it's kind of hard to find a lot of positive notes relative to the offense, but you're right. We were 2-for-2 in the red zone. That was positive. We led the time of possession, you know, almost 32 minutes to 28 minutes. We only gave up two sacks against two really good pass rushers on the edge against, you know, a rookie left tackle and a new right tackle in Trevor Penning, who swapped over to that side this year. Look, there were things that we did well, you know, in the run game, but they get offset by the number of negative plays in the run game. And so that was discouraging, especially, you know, when you're back to full strength in the offensive line, and we've been, you know, a good running team up to this point. So that was a little disappointing. Defensively, man, I thought we did a lot of things really well. I think we dominated the line of scrimmage. Thought our pass rush was as good as it's been this year. We had a lot of pressure, a lot of tip balls, batted balls. I think between the batted balls and the PBUs, you know, there were 13 times where we got our hands on a pass, and that was really positive. I think the penalties, we had 6 penalties to their 12. So, you know, we were able to reduce that from where it's been. It was it's a tough game in the kicking game because, you know, I don't know if it translated on television, but the wind was a factor and the elements were a factor in the kicking game for both teams. But we made a big play at the end, well designed, field goal block, and Brian Brzee made a fantastically athletic play held by Peyton Turner, Nathan Shepard to get him free, and that was a great play at the end of the game.
Did you know? Can you tell by the alignment that play is coming? I don't know if you're on the field at that point. I mean, did you know that play was coming?
I didn't know. You know, we've got several different field goal blocks. Didn't know that was called, because the alignment is, it can be different, but I don't know that you necessarily recognize that the jump's coming on that particular play by alignment, because those guys, I think they're pretty much aligned in that same formation a number of different times. But it was a great play and certainly timely, that's for sure.
This is, and you, if you don't answer this, if you feel it's not in your best interest, but I'm wondering, because of what Peyton and because of what Nathan have to do, do they almost let the officials know, look, I'm going to push him down. Do not call this. I'm not pulling him down. I'm doing exactly what the rule calls for, so that they don't, because that's not something they can pick back up.
Yeah. Well, what happens is, before the game, during the officials' meetings, when they meet with the head coach will tell them what we have in relative to anything that might be unusual. And I don't know that Rizzi talked to the officials about this specific play, but he's very tuned in to the rules and the special teams. He's had a lot to do with the new kickoff rule, and so he's talked to officials lots of times. It's a legal play. You can push down on the opponent. You can't hold them. You can't pull them, but you can push down on them, and that's exactly what happened on that play. So it was officiated correctly.
And for you, and for Jake Kubas, you cannot pick up another human being and slam him to the ground in the middle of a play. That is illegal, which happened to Peyton Turner earlier.
That's what they called. And look, there's a fine line between, finishing off a block and unnecessary roughness. That's the difficulty of being an official in our league.
And only because you just said finishing off of that, because that in the end, you were able to finish the game off. I don't care about the fourth quarter, and the stats leading into the fourth quarter were wildly one-sided, but finishing off a game, that means something.
Yeah. Making a play at the end of the game to win a one score game is something that we've struggled to do in recent times. And so that was good to see. Now, I would say this, we went into the last 10 minutes of the game. I think they had 98 yards of offense. In the last 10 minutes, we allowed 162 yards. So that's not the type of finish you want after a good and a strong defensive performance. We had a couple of opportunities, I think, on fourth down in the last drive or last two drives to get them off the field. And we didn't. So credit them. They made some big plays, but there's also some things that we can clean up and maybe not come down to having to block a game time field goal.
Back with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis here on the Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We are talking with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. Derek Carr situation, obviously it's only been a day since we talked to Coach Rizzi, the fractured left hand, the concussion, so he's got a couple of things that will have to just get worked out through the week. I can't imagine on Tuesday a lot more than you did yesterday. Only that, I would say, because of what you saw last year, he was one of nine quarterbacks to start every game, and he got hurt in three games. He will do whatever it takes and whatever is possible to get out there as soon as possible. At least that much,
Yeah. Look, if Derek's able to play, he will play. That's just in his nature. And, the question for us will be not necessarily, when the time comes, isn't necessarily about whether he can. It's whether he should. And, you know, we'll collectively make that decision with him, and you know, we'll see where that goes. But we've got to clear some hurdles here first, and we'll see how the week goes.
And not surprisingly, like most teams would do, you wanted to get just another arm in camp. So signed Ben DiNucci, was a draft pick out of Dallas, was last with Buffalo. I might as well just say it. If you need some, you know, expertise, I watched him play 2020, you know, the national championship game. He played for James Madison, took on Trey Lance at North Dakota State, lost on the final play of the game. You know, big DiNucci fan, finally got you a JMU guy, so I'm happy. But again, I'm kind of teasing, but certainly just a little insurance there, I would imagine.
Yeah, we just we like Ben. We like him from afar, and it'll give us a chance to get him on the practice squad and get a look. And look, you're happy about it. Doug Miller's happy about it because he's a Pittsburgh guy, and you know, so we'll go from there.
Well, there you go. Because I know that's how you start the day. How am I going to make Doug and Mike happy? And you that's did it with exactly one. Right. You did it with one move. That's pretty cool. That's rare.
Yeah, that is rare.
Kendre Miller, you know, we've seen glimpses, but I felt like, and this is beyond the kind of 8-yard scrum that is just really the offensive lineman to push him, but you still got to have the powerful legs. But there are, I mean, +8, +8, +9, +7, that could have been +3 or +4, but you really kind of saw that little extra in him, whether it was a jump, a move, a power move, whatever, that had to have been very encouraging.
Yeah, look, we've known from the moment we drafted him that Kendre can run the football, and he's talented. You know, his difficulty has been being available and being available for, you know, a stretch of time. You know, the play that he scored the touchdown on actually reminded me a little bit of Deuce McAllister. You know, Deuce would bang into a big pile like that, and was so powerful and strong he could stay on his feet and push the pile himself, along with help from some offensive linemen. Remember a number of times that he did that. So that was a remarkable play, because I think he got hit probably about the 6-yard line.
You're right, exactly.
And was able to stay on his feet to about the 4, and then all of a sudden the whole offensive line, you know, pushed him and carried him into the end zone. It was impressive.
No, I totally agree, because he was from the 8, got hit at the 6, so it was, you know, and Fuaga was kind of the first to him. But again, if he's not on his feet, it doesn't really matter who gets to him at that point. And I'm just curious, because do you like the play? Let's say that had been at midfield, right? At some point, do they call the play dead, blow the whistles? Do you like kind of that scrum thing? I know it worked out Sunday.
Yeah. Obviously I liked it Sunday. I think the officials do a really good job in this area. You know, when forward progress is stopped, they blow the whistle, but they don't do it until forward progress is stopped. And I don't think at any point was forward progress stopped on that particular play. And there's been others like that as well.
Ryan Brzee, and we started, I guess, a few weeks ago, we had talked about of the show about, hey, who are the next stars? Who are the stars on your team? And you said, well, wait a minute. Let's look back at maybe a DeMario Davis and Cam Jordan, who's going to be on the show in just a little bit. And, you know, it's unfair, really, to look at their first couple of years. Brian's in his second year, but it feels to me like, man, you've just seen some things physically, spin, blocks, batting down passes that must be very encouraging.
Well, you know, he's been productive. You know, I think he's been productive all year long, but I think particularly recently we've seen some of these flash plays, and you've seen some of the things that we liked when we drafted him. I would say that he's not a finished product yet. And I think he would say he's not a finished product. There's things that he can do in the run game in particular that he needs to do better. And he will do better. But he's been very productive. He's got you know, a lot of sacks for his position, for any position really. And he's He's made some instinctive plays, batting the balls down, and obviously a tremendously athletic play and blocking the field goal this last game. But yeah, he's making progress, and we like that. But I don't think that, again, I think that it's the arrow up. He needs to keep ascending, and I think he will keep ascending.
We are talking with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. In comes to town, the Washington Commanders, 8-5. Like Cleveland, who had the bye, like the Giants, who had the mini bye, Washington comes in off of a bye as well. So that's challenging stuff when you start talking week 15 and you get teams, you know, with some fresh legs.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, one of the
I know it's the schedule. Game, it is. You know, I know
the schedule, and you know, you hope it doesn't occur too many times. You know, it's going to happen during the course of the season. You hope it doesn't happen too many times to you, but that's the case this week, and you know, we'll deal with it.
What did you see in Jaden Daniels? Kind of, I mean, he was going to go so early, probably. I mean, but you still, you know, you look at him and kind of what you saw in him as a rookie, maybe at LSU in his final year, and then what you've seen in him as a rookie at Washington, 15 touchdowns, only 6 picks, and he's also run it 108 times for 590 and 6 touchdowns as well.
Yeah, look, I don't think any of it's a surprise to us. I think they're doing a great job. He's doing a great job, number one, protecting the football, making plays with his legs, making plays with his arm. I think there's probably a maturity and a calmness there that you don't always see with young and rookie quarterbacks that he's displayed. And so it hasn't been too big for him. And I think that's a credit, obviously, to him, but it's also a credit to the coaching staff. They've done a fantastic job.
And it's another one in the NFC, and you know, you just keep the blinders on, and you can't watch what Atlanta's doing, Atlanta and Tampa, and all that. All you can do at this point is finish 9-8 and see where the chips fall.
Yeah, look, we're not even thinking about 9-8. We're thinking about 1-0 this week. That's you know what the goal is, and look, this is one of the better teams that we'll have played in this last stretch here. And it'll be a challenge. They've got a lot to play for. They're feeling good about themselves. I'm sure we're going to see Marshawn Lattimore, and he's going to have a chip on his shoulder. And so we're going to have to come with our A game, and it'll be fun.
And finally, that always seems to be the way, isn't it? Why is it that you whatever happens, it always just seems that guy comes back. You play him that year, whatever. It's never to the AFC North, and you never see him again. It always feels like it's not anything anybody did. It just feels that way. We'll have to see.
Yeah, it does. It does sometimes.
Maybe it's just me. I don't know. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll come back, and we will talk with Cam Jordan. He is the Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee, as well as Alicia Broussard Sheridan with the Saints. She is the Vice President of Community Outreach, as well as Youth Sports. We'll take a break. Be back after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Well, welcome back to the Saints Hour. Mike Haas, along with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. We are joined now by Cam Jordan, defensive end, 2011 first-round pick, 24th overall, and Alicia Broussard Sheridan, Vice President, Community Relations, Outreach, Youth Sports. Lots to talk about. Let's see. Let's begin with Cam, of course. And Cam, nominated again for the Walter Payton Man of the Year. It happened before, but when that comes from your peers, just give me a sense of what that means to you.
I think it's a huge nod to the work that I'm doing in the community. And I feel like I take everything as a challenge anyway. So I take it as a challenge that I can be better. I can be more. I can have more of a positive impact in my community. I feel like it was like a rally of like, whatever you're doing, great. And for me, it was a challenge of, all right, whatever I've done, awesome, but I can always give more.
So, Alicia, tell me, the first time you met Cam and what that was like, and about how long during your conversation with him did you realize he was actually questioning and interviewing you?
Mike, can I interrupt just a second?
Sure.
Before you do that, I just want to say that, look, Lish does a fantastic job for us. She's been with us for a long time, despite how young she is. And she handles all of the player, the coach, and the front office community engagement opportunities and appointments, and just does a fantastic job. There's nobody in our league that does that job better than Alicia does. So I just want to make sure that our audience knows that.
Well, much appreciated. I do.
Don't make me cry before we get into all of the details of what's going on here. But I certainly do appreciate that. And Mike, certainly you, I feel, are part of the family. So feel free to call me Lish. It's fine. But the interesting thing with Cam is that he came in during the lockout. So, you know, the introduction was not what it typically is with most guys coming in. But certainly once he, you know, Fran McAfee, our VP of player development, he's great about making sure that the guys are connected with myself and the rest of my team. And man, I was trying to think what the actual first visit was with Cam, at least the first school visit. And what I remember from the very first moment, I was like, this guy has so much energy. Like, how am I going to keep up? I had just had my first child. So, you know, a working mom, as it would be, not getting much rest. But Cam definitely kept me on my toes. He keeps me on skates. So I knew, though, his personality is, I feel like, you know, certainly that of a New Orleanian. You know, very quickly we tend to think of someone as a member of the family, a cousin, you know, a very close friend. We're calling them in a moment after meeting at a bus stop or, you know, just having a quick conversation in a grocery store. And so what I saw in him was that there was going to be a very easy integration into the New Orleans community. And, you know, we all know, everybody's always said, you know, you love New Orleans, they're going to love you back. And just the way that he's integrated himself into the community, not just in the schools, but, you know, there's so many people, you know, just randomly on the street that you'll meet. And, you know, it's my guy, Cam. You know, it's the veneer of Cam Jordan, the number 94 for the New Orleans Saints, wore very quickly with him. So I certainly do appreciate that because it makes my job much, much easier. So thanks again, Mickey. But, you know, you're pulling some great guys into the building. Makes it easy for me.
The floor is yours, Mickey.
Well, first I want to say this. I one of the things that I don't know that people understand is these players, they give their time during their day off. And they get one, once the season begins, once training camp begins, outside of the bye week, they have one day a week where they don't have football activity. And, you know, time's pretty precious, especially for these players like Cam, who have families, have kids that are demanding their time as well. And yet he still, on every Tuesday, is the first guy to volunteer to go spend time at a school or a community event. And we've got a number of players that do that. Cam's not the only one, but it's not as easy as it might sound being a professional athlete in season and giving up your time like that.
Why do you do it, Cam?
Yeah, I mean, Liz sort of said it earlier. I mean, I was integrated into New Orleans before I was integrated really as a New Orleans Saint. You know, the city showed me so much love when it was a lockout year that most of my friends were New Orleanians, you know, like real work, eat, live in New Orleans versus the transplants that football players seem to be, you know. So it was easy to embrace the culture. But growing up, I had a dad who played for the Minnesota Vikings and, you know, started up all types of charity events, first team program out in Phoenix, where, you know, they bring in inner city youth kids to the game of golf, introduce them to the game of golf. And as long as I can remember, I've always seen, you know, acts of kindness from my mom in our surrounding community. So it was just something I grew up with. So growing up with it, just, you just always aspire to be like your parents, emulate actions that you see as positive impacts. And that's that was the easiest way to go about it. But it's more along the lines of, you know, seeing the smiles on kids' faces, you know, whether that's the PFEs from the you know, the play football focus camps, the play play it forward in high school. Anytime you've had interactions with the next generation, the next kids, the guys that look up to you, you've always been re-inspired. So going to these school visits is darn near selfish at this point. When I go out there and I'm talking to kids and you see them light up and you see how they, they want to play professional sports. They want to go, go to college and play for their team. They want to be great. They want to take their grades to the next level so they have opportunities or chances. You feel re-inspired. You feel reinvigorated of like you're looking at infinite potential. You know, a kid who's 8, 9, 10, 12, 14, 16 has their whole life in front of them, hopefully, has 40, 50, 60 years. And this is those foundational type moments that you can leave a positive impact on them. You would never know what kid needs to hear your talk, what kid needs to be affected until, 5, 10, call it 14 seasons later, when you see a kid that was 8 or 9 years old now sitting at 23, 24, like, hey, man, I wanted to go to, Cal because you came in and talked about Cal. I wanted to be a professional football player, but I remember how much you stressed the importance of academics. And it's like, now I'm, taking my LSATs and I'm pushing towards a better degree because I want to have better opportunity. But I remember you talking about school was first before it was football. And it's moments that the interactions that I've had over the last 5 years that have made me realize how much of an impact I've had talking to kids in school. So it's creating the scholarships, it's creating, the backpack drives, the school give backs, the teachers supplies back to school drives. It's feeding the homeless. It's partnering with United Way. It's doing whatever it takes to be a part of this community that can have a positive impact, because you never know how much positivity you can create from it.
Let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. And when we come back on the Saints Hour with General Manager Mickey Loomis, defensive end Cam Jordan, and Vice President of Community Relations Lish Broussard Sheridan, this is the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Saints Hour with Saints defensive end Cam Jordan, Vice President of Community Relations Lish Broussard Sheridan, and Saints Executive VP and General Manager Mickey Loomis.
So, Cam, I want to go back. It's hard to believe it's been 14 years now since we drafted you, but I want to go back. You went to high school, went to school in Arizona, then you went to college at Cal, and then draft day, the New Orleans Saints draft you in. Look, that's a pretty big move, coast to coast, coming to New Orleans. What were you thinking when that happened?
I was thanking the Lord that it wasn't somewhere cold. I think my only prayer that day was like, Lord, thank you for the blessings that you've given me. Also, please don't send me anywhere cold. Like, I don't know how longer I'll play if it's cold. You know me, if it's 75 degrees on, I throw a sweater on. So like, I just didn't see myself thriving in a cold air spot like that. But then, you remember, Mickey, 2011, I thought I was going to be a top 15 lock. I came in for a visit, and, we had like a brief conversation. I talked to Bill Johnson, and he's like, look, man, I could ask you about X's and O's, but you're not going to be here. We pick 24th. Unless we go get you, we won't be able to get you. And I was like, in my mind, I was locked in, So by pick 24, I was like, look, Lord, I done brought my whole family out here to New York now. Like, everybody sitting here, I'm falling. you think you're going in that first hour, and now we're sitting, in the last 60 minutes. It can get a little, I'm looking at the agent like, you gave me bad information. I'm looking at the parents like, I'm looking at my dad like, hey, man, we might be a day two family. So the New Orleans Saints called, and I blacked out. I don't think I had any words for him, because I remember I was like, there's things I want to say, things I want to, like, I want to let you know I'm like the hardest worker out there. I'm gonna let you know that I'm gonna be the best player you've ever had. And by the time Mickey and Saints and Sean Payton called, I was just like, let's do this. Thank you so much. Like, Mickey,
well,
tell you,
I remember the conversation, because look, you were so excited. And I think you, in the span of about 35 or 40 seconds, first with Sean, then with me, you must have said 2,000 words. And I remember looking at Sean and just saying, gosh, what did we just do? I can't even understand this guy. He's talking so fast. But we certainly didn't expect that you would be available to draft. And look, things happen for a reason, right? And now 14 years later, you're still here, still going strong. 118 and a half sacks or whatever it is, 140 sacks. Who knows where it's going to end up. But yeah, it's been a great ride for you and for us, and even beyond all the great things that you've done in the community, man, you just have represented our team. I don't want to say it's perfect, but it's pretty close to perfect.
Hey, nothing in life is perfect. I'm going to leave that to the man above, because me, I'm but a plebeian.
Lish, how hard is it? Go ahead, Lish. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you, because there's a lot of players, and they do, as Mickey said, just have that Tuesday. Cam is also one of the 10 finalists for the Athletes in Action BART Star Award, which honors the NFL player which best exemplifies outstanding character and leadership in the home. I imagine Tuesdays for some mean one thing, but Tuesdays with Cam is a pretty solid calendar invite for you.
No doubt. It is standard for sure. And Mickey, I'll tell you this, that story that Cam just shared about getting that call on draft day is one that he has shared many times. So he certainly does appreciate getting that call for sure, all these 14 years later. But I can tell you, Mike, the calls, well, first of all, yes, Tuesday, as long as we're coming into and going out of a Sunday game, you can bet that there's going to be a school visit that's happening somewhere between 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock a.m. But the surprising moments, you know, you think, okay, well, it's bye week. They're not going to have a regular day off. Or, hey, they're coming back from an international game. Certainly, he's not going to look to go to school, you know, first thing in the morning. He hasn't even, you know, had 3 hours of sleep coming off the plane, but he does, you know, late night on a, you know, winning game night or even not sometimes. And the call comes in of, hey, let's go to school on Monday and Tuesday. So just the consistency that has happened over the course of 14 years, particularly as guys get deeper into their careers, you know, you start, you know, having families and then that window of time that you only have on a Tuesday to get all the regular things done, you know, the honey-do list and the daddy duties and all of those things, Cam still finds a way to incorporate serving the community, you know, bringing his family really into a lot of the community events that we do. A lot of times you'll see, you know, Nikki and the kids coming through. Just this past couple of weeks ago, as we were preparing for what the Thanksgiving activation would look like. Of course, you know, Tuesday wasn't a Tuesday, but still found a way, you know, to work it out to where he was involved, you know, really hands-on. And that's, I think, one of the things that I can certainly appreciate is that he's not one of these guys who, you know, is just doing it for the look of the camera. You know, I can't say that that's the case for any of the guys on our team, but, you know, with Cam specifically, it is, you know, what can he do to help? Where can he connect the dots? There's so many moments that folks will just never hear about that, you know, has been incredibly impactful for the people who have served. And I am going to share just one real quick. So there was a teacher that had reached out. Actually, her daughter had reached out to Cam on social. And after, you know, a little vetting process, we found out that the teacher, you know, great teacher, had, you know, kids in high school and had a pretty traumatic experience to where they lost their home. And, you know, without even question, Cam put the family up in, you know, an Airbnb for a solid month. So just think about what that means to the individual when, you know, you just came against this, you know, incredibly, you know, unfortunate circumstance, and you're trying to figure out how do you even, you know, get to the next paycheck to be able to cover whatever it is to attempt to get you back on your feet. And if you then get to a moment where you just don't have that financial burden, you don't have that worry to be able to focus on, you know, kind of getting back on the right path, out of the blue, you know, just a random random message that then turns into sort of righting the ship for you and getting you back on track. Like, and that's just one moment in one year at one time. But then once you start to kind of, you know, add those things up over the course of 14 years, you know, it's just the steadfast commitment, the consistency, all of these things that are admired in someone who is nominated for, you know, Man of the Year, who ultimately wins Man of the Year. You can't ask for a better example of that in what Cam has shown.
I have just a couple of questions, and I appreciate everybody's time. I do want to ask one football question, just to get it out of the way. And for whatever reason, Cam, this has been your time of the year, right? In their last four games, you've had four quarterback hits, two PDs, a sack, a tackle for a loss, three sacks in your last two games. Last year, 2021, you had 8.5 sacks in your last four games. What is it about kind of that November-December run where, not that you come alive, but it just seems like your conditioning or your will just seems to overpower?
It's nothing but the grace and glory of God giving me the talent and opportunities to present what I've been given on display. You know, each year is different when you come in as a football player, but at the same time, at the end of the year, you're squeezing everything you got left on every play. The December is that month that you have to, you know, really make hay. January, when your season's closing out, you don't have any time to think about what your body's going to feel like, because at this point, it is what it is. And you know, because of the way I condition, because of the way, you know, I still feel that I'm going to be the best conditioned defensive lineman out there. Honestly, one of the best conditioned athletes on the field. When I see, you know, that last stretch of the season and guys are breaking down, guys are getting tired, I'm made for that.
We will wrap things up next as we continue on the Saints Hour here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Pistol formation with Gainwell behind Minshew. Minshew takes the snap. He keeps it, rolls to his right, but he's got company, and he'll get brought down shy of the first down at the 19 by Cam Jordan. Did not fool Cam Jordan, who I think ripped off Gardner Minshew's shoe as well.
Oh, and that's where you miss Jalen Hurts. I mean, that's where Jalen is going to be able to give you a little something on the edge. But the Saints did something. I mean, they had five D linemen in, and so, you know, Cam's job was the quarterback. And nice job right there on the edge also by Shy Tuttle by not allowing the quarterback to be able to get the yardage needed. So 2-3 and outs by that Saints defense being able to do your job.
34 seconds. Ball's at the 25. Minshew out of the shotgun. Saints bring four. Minshew's in trouble, and he will go down inside the 20. Cam Jordan is there.
Mike, Cam is getting close to this all-time sack record that Ricky Jackson holds. I think he may need another half sack. But right now, they cannot block this Saints front four. They cannot block them, and I don't know if it's a separation issue, but Minshew is not comfortable back there, and that pocket is collapsing.
That's his 6.5 sack for Cam. He has not had a full sack prior to today until week 7 of Arizona, had a half a sack week 10 in Pittsburgh, but that was a big one. And you're right, boy, Caden Ellis, they were just collapsing that pocket. Cam was there, as was David Onyemata, to force a second down and 15 at the 20 with 26 seconds left. First and 10. Takes the handoff back to throw. A little stunt, and he does. The ball comes loose, and Minshew gets it. But that'll be it. That should be the sack for Cam Jordan, and that should be the record.
That's the record. Congratulations to the new Saints sack leader. Franchise history.
His third sack today, loss of 12. Minshew fumbled it, but when he picked it up, Cam was there. Three sacks today. Began the day with 112.5. And now, clock moving. Second and 21 after the sack.
I got a question for you, Cam. So 14 years, I don't know how many games that is, but it's a lot. What's the most memorable game for you? You know, from a positive standpoint, what's when you think about your career and think about a particular game, what jumps out at you?
first notable game of the career would have been like Mike Vick three sack game Philadelphia was at 2012 because that was the first three sack game and it was Mike Vick. Come on, everybody, everybody played with Mike Vick. You know, on Madden when we had Algie Crumpler. You know, like it was Mike Vick. First, like, you know, he didn't have not $100 million contract. He had two, but it was Philadelphia Mike Vick. It wasn't Atlanta Mike Vick. And then I guess the other one would just be, sadly, I'm always going to remember the three sack game against Philadelphia breaking the Saints record. It's just not as epic. Like, you know, the first sack was against Cam Newton. The 100th sack was against Tom Brady. The 113th, 14th, and 15th and a half sack was against Gardner Minshew. It's just, for some reason, Gardner's just not doing it. And I have the pantheon of quarterbacks. Not saying he's not a good one. He's just not legendary in my mind. Like he's a Mississippi guy. You know, not nothing wrong with Mississippi guy, but he's not. He wasn't legendary in my mind.
Well, he's legendary because him and DeMario went to the same high school, I think.
Legendary odds of getting out of the SIL. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. So you'll have to. You can argue that with DeMario.
Yeah, for sure.
But you listen. You had a lot of sacks on Cam and Matt Ryan, as I recall, over the years. So you've got to have fond memories of those two guys.
Yeah, Matt Ryan forever. Like he's forever good in my book. If he ever needed anything, all he had to do was call me. Like I need to pay him back some way somehow.
And the last question I have, and I will let you go, and that is, I met your dad somewhat when you signed your contract this summer, and I wasn't afraid of him, but I just went, man, that's an intimidating cat. He was just an intimidating guy. And now I'm thinking, you're the father of four. I'm going, I think Cam Jordan would be the greatest dad in the world, man. He's fun. We laugh. And I'm just wondering, what kind of dad is Cam Jordan?
I think I hold the moniker for fun dad. If you ask the wife, that's definitely my role.
You are good cop. She is bad cop.
She is the concrete as well as the walls, ceiling of the household. And I just happen to be the wonderful, beautiful, pattern window that gets to look outside. You know, like I am the fun that they want to get to. And at the same time, I'm also the ceiling. Like if you need, you know, if mom gets mad, guess who has to bring the hammer? Me. So like I'm pretty much, you know, it's my role doesn't change much from the D-line. I get to be fun, and at the same time, if I have to come be the bearer of bad news, I'd be that as well. I get to be me 24/7.
Well, we appreciate your time, Mickey, as always. Lish, best of luck. But please tell me there's a Lish on the Pelican side too, right? You're not both, right?
No, there's only one Lish. No, there's only one. She can't be duplicated.
But somebody else is doing a job, right?
I am. It is I. It is me. Ah! Yes. But you're right. There's only one Lish.
Well, congratulations. Thanks to you all. Best of luck for the Walter Payton Man of the Year, as well as the Athletes in Action BART star. Your dad should be in the hall. Jari Evans should be in the hall. We'll get some of that out of the way. And just continued success for everyone, for Mickey, Cam, and Lish.
Indeed. Appreciate you guys.
Now that's our show for tonight. We do want to recognize our sympathies for the passing of Joseph Bernstein, the last surviving member of the original Saints ownership group. He passed away at the age of 94. An attorney from Texas, one of many to help bring the team here back in 1966. So our sympathies and prayers to the family. And we thank all of those who worked so hard and for all of their dedication to bring the New Orleans Saints right here to New Orleans. My thanks to Charlie Long in the booth tonight for his work. This has been the Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.